Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Men have it easier in 95% of life, I think. One that was pointed out to me yesterday on TikTok was the way that guys handle going on trips together is so different than the way women handle going on trips together. You've said this before. When women go on trips, it's very, there's a schedule, there's an itinerary, there might be wardrobe changes. We're coordinating what we're wearing, right?
Activities, adventure, everything is pretty much planned.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not dudes.
You know who I envy the most? I envy all of the men on a group trip.
I don't think everybody understands, come here. When a group of guys plan to go on a trip, it is the most unorganized trip that is ever constructed, ever. It's mainly just vibes when we try to plan a trip. Does that make sense? Because, guys, we don't talk about anything besides the destination we're going to. How are we going to get there? We don't really know. Who's driving? Whoever wants to. Where are we going to eat? Wherever's open. Where are we going to stay? Wherever will take us. That's really all it is. And then when we get back from the trip, right, at that point, and people ask, like, how was the trip? We'll be like, it was cool. We don't really give too much information, right? When we pack, all we make sure we have is our phone, wallet, and keys. That's pretty much it. We forget we have to pack clothes for the trip. We don't even take pictures on the trip. All we have is that for years on end, we'll just always remind ourselves about the trip, and we'll have like 12 inside jokes that will never, ever go away.
That's 100% the truth.
Yeah, that's facts.
When I spend time with my sons, it's the exact same way. Where you guys want to go to dinner? I don't know. Let's get a hot dog.
Whatever's close, whatever's open.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
That's it.
That take was courtesy of @Jordan_the_stallion8, and he pretty much nailed it.
Nailed it.
Any dude's trip.
All right, so Messy Mikey, our producer, was telling us before he took off that this was going to be his very first spring break. He's never gone before. So we said to him, look, dude, you got to let us in on this. Like, when you go, you got to leave us some voicemails on exactly what's going on. How wild is it getting? Or are you chilling? Like, has it met the expectation? Because I know when I went on spring breaks, man, it was nonstop. 48 straight hours or even longer, right? You same?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember most of it, but anytime I did it back in them times, it was go, go, go for as long as you possibly could.
So Mikey leaving voicemails for us, explaining to us what happened on night number one.
And also, we gave him a bingo card. So there are 9 things that he has to try to accomplish while he is on spring break that he's supposed to be updating us on in these voice memos.
All right. Well, this is Michael Wakefield, United States of America. Today, we arrived at the beach. I went to Target and I ate a hot dog. We went to the hot tub and well, the first people in the hot tub, John and Linda, and they say that they've called the cops 5 times already this week on college kids partying, so good people. And then we met Fred, who tried to convert me to Judaism. Fred's a good guy. I liked him. He studied theology. And then we met Nina. She was 65 years old, and she actually pretended to be a drunk girl's grandma. So the girl didn't go to jail. So God bless Nina. Oh, God. Get out your bingo cards because I just grabbed the mic and cheers the crowd. It was all high schoolers, and they told me that their queue was filled. Some kind of nonsense. Not true. They didn't want me ripping up their club. They knew that it would have got too rowdy. We went to another bar that is strictly 21 and over. So there were some scary people in there. No other bar would take them, so they go to this one bar. I saw the microphone. I went on stage. I took the microphone. I was saying to the lady, I want to cheers the crowd. I want to cheers the crowd. This woman refused to turn the music down. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I don't know if you guys are going to accept this or not, but I think you should because I put in my all-out effort. Mm-hmm. Also, I decided early on that I'm going to write my own cheers. So I wrote my own cheers. I'll include a transcript, but I did my illest. Wasn't the greatest cheers of all time, but I did it. It was a toast. After it happened, nobody in the bar really cared. I got a couple of cheers, though, so just give me this one, please. God bless you. This has been Michael Jonathan Wakefield, United States of America.
Back to us in the studio.
He sounds, it's like the most sober student I have ever heard in my life on spring break.
Well, right. That was night one.
Okay, night one. So yeah. He said he grabbed a mic and he cheered the crowd. Do we have any audio of said cheers?
Yes, and we have video of it too.
Okay. Oh, we do. All right, let's try to hear if we can actually hear Michael Jonathan Wakefield, United States of America, giving a cheers.
I don't know.
I think they actually turned the music up.
They did.
When he got behind my... Do we know exactly what the cheers was?
Yeah, I got it on your right there in front of me.
Okay, what is it?
Here's to those who wish us well. Those who don't can go to hell. So I'll do a cheers to you and I and don't intend to make you cry. But I refuse to go to bed till the day I'm a dead peckerhead. What? Cheers.
What?
That is the most messy Mikey thing I've ever heard.
He stole part of that from a John Prine song.
Good God almighty.
Only right. Messy Mikey. All right, well, that, you know what? We heard it. He was on a mic. He did it. So I think that one counts. So he has successfully checked off one of the boxes on his Messy Mikey Spring Break Bingo card.
Okay, so tomorrow he comes back. And how many items are there on the bingo card? Do you remember?
Well, there's 9 items, but he only has to get 3 in a row to get bingo. And if he does that, he gets $500.
Okay. I say this is a mid-spring break trip so far. Should have been way more drunk than that.
Okay.
Older than that. Yeah, very mid at this point. Let's see how the week progresses.
For sure. That was his first night. So maybe he's just instead of...
Pace lap.
Warm up.
There's no pace lap when you're in your early 20s.
There shouldn't
you
be.
You go right in, man.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's get some Caroline here, some help here. She needs help with a second date update. This dude hits her up on Instagram. They go out. She can't figure out why there has not been a second date. And he's ghosted her. Hey, Caroline, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. All right. So you wanted us to reach out to this dude to find out exactly what has happened here because there's no second date. Dang it, you're demanding one.
Yeah. We had a really good time on our first date. We have a friend that we know each other on Instagram, how everyone meets these days. And I made a comment on my friend's post, and he was curious about me, so he went to my profile. And I don't have a lot of pictures. I'm kind of private. And he really liked my comment, and I thought that was great because he wasn't about my looks. He thought it was witty. So I was really excited to go out with him. And, we had a great time, and I thought that he was going to text me after the date. And then he didn't. So, and it was about a week and a half ago. So I reached out to him and said, hey, like, can we have another date? And he wrote back, quote unquote, no, thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, he was polite.
That's harsh.
That's like that passive aggressiveness polite.
Yeah, that feels almost like a thumbs up right there.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Exactly. So I don't know why he just wrote that back. I just kind of let it go. But now that I've been thinking about it, I just want to know why we're not going to go on a second date.
Okay, so let's try to figure this out here for a second. Because a no thank you means something happened on that date that was jarring for him. So there was no tension, no lull. You didn't feel the air get sucked out of the room at any point.
No, I thought it went great. I mean, we were going back and forth. He was enjoying my personality. I thought it was great.
All right. Am I being Delulu if I you know, obviously tone is completely lost on, in text messages, right? And it, you are only, you're going to read something in your voice and in your tone. So it could have been like, no, thank you. Or it could be like, no, thank you. You're driving straight on to Delulu Lane. Yeah. Dang it.
Because the courteous thing to do when you don't want a second date is you always just want to leave it on good terms. You want people to leave you good dating Yelp reviews, even though they may never meet somebody that you date in the future. You still want to leave it on a term of like, you know, I had a great time. Even if you didn't, just lie. I had a great time, but I don't see this going anywhere in the future. Good luck on your future endeavors. That's like the copy-paste answer that just about everybody should give if they don't want to go on a second date. The fact that he said no thank you tells me that he really wanted to stick it to you some way. So I need to know what went on that date or what went on after the date. If he found something on the internet that made him feel a little something about you.
Could it be anything that maybe the mutual friend would have said about you or about something from the past that could have maybe rubbed him the wrong way?
Oh, I mean, we're really good friends, and she was just as excited about it as I was, so I really hope my friend wouldn't throw me under the bus like that, but that's a good point. I'm not sure.
Well, let's give him just a little bit of credit here. Just a little bit of credit, because he's already told you. He hasn't ghosted you, which is the worst thing to do. Or is it?
I don't know. I feel like I'd rather be ghosted.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Than this?
Yeah. I think I'd rather this. Like, I mean, I would be just as curious, but at least he didn't leave you with any questions. Something happened on that date where there's not going to be a second one.
I guess for me, because if you get ghosted, it's like you can leave the door open for it was them, not me. It just must be them. But if somebody says no thank you, it makes you feel like, damn, well, what did I do?
Right.
See, now I want to know.
Now we're giving mixed messages here, because every time we do this, we're like, ghosting is the worst. But now you're saying actually a response like this is worse than ghosting?
For me, I think so.
That's a nasty response.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that it's a nasty response and technically it's polite because he said no thank you. Right. But it's just like the passive aggressiveness of it.
The politeness is the nasty part.
But that's why it's passive aggressive, because if we come at him and say, well, that was rude, then we look crazy because he said no thank you.
Right. So we're not exactly sure what he means by this. If it's like, oh, God, no. Or if this is just like, hey, no thanks, just not going to work out.
Can I jump in here?
Uh-huh.
So this all has to do with something that happened at the beginning of the date.
Ooh.
Or you could say even before the date started.
So Tommy knows this because he's already reached out to the guy. We have some answers for you in a couple minutes.
And I want you guys to guess real quick what you think that might be.
If she was late? An hour and a half late?
Yeah, but she would tell us that. You would have known that that was the case if you were super late, right, Caroline?
Yeah, no, I was on time. Yeah,
she was definitely on time.
Do your Instagram pictures look like you really look?
I mean, honestly, it's a lot of cats. So
it's a lot of cats. Well, that's it.
Yeah, she doesn't have a whole lot of Instagram pictures.
All right. So do this, Caroline. Hold on for us for just 1 second. So in the interest of time here, give us like a couple of minutes when we come back. Tommy already knows the answer to this because he's already reached out to the dude and he's got some answers for you, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, you will know why there is no second date next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I think we are learning this morning that getting ghosted in the dating world is not the worst thing. It's actually being polite when you're telling somebody that you're never going to see them ever again is the worst thing.
Is it polite or is it passive aggressive?
Gosh, we just can't tell, right? If you don't know what we're talking about, a couple of minutes ago, Caroline hit us up and she's like, I went on this date with this dude through Instagram. We had a great time. She's all excited about it. She texts him saying something to the effect of, hey, can't wait for our next date or something like that. And he says, no, thank you.
That definitely sounds passive aggressive.
So we're trying to figure out here is that is he trying to be polite? But words when it comes to texting, man, they can be interpreted differently. So what went wrong on that date where at least we know what happened and there is going to be no second date? All right, Caroline, I have all that right, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So our show director, Tommy, reached out to this dude, the no thank you dude, to find out why there's not going to be a second date. Tommy, you can take it from here, man.
Yeah, we're calling him Jeremy, and I DM'd Jeremy. I explained the Burt Show's second date update, and if he'd be willing to give us an explanation as to why there will not be a second date, and he said he would. He wanted to take some time, and he wrote an email. And I will say this. Caroline took the biggest of swings. Something she hasn't told you about, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, that something happened at the beginning of the date, or even really before the date even started. And it was a huge, incredibly huge swing. And evidently he did not like it. So this is what he says. He says, well, first off, I met Caroline through Instagram. I saw this witty comment she made on a mutual friend's post, and it cracked me up. I wanted to know more about the person who wrote it, so I clicked her profile. Thing is, she has no pictures of herself on her feed, so I had no idea what she looked like. But her comment was so funny, so I thought, why not, and slid into her DMs. Even though I had no idea what she looked like, she seemed fun, so I decided to take a chance and meet up with her. We agreed to meet at this place, and I planned to Uber there to keep it easy. So my Uber arrives, and I hop in. The driver starts making small talk, asks where I'm headed. I tell her about the first date, thinking she's just being chatty. But then she starts asking all these questions about my date and how we met. I'm thinking, okay, maybe she's just curious. She drops me off, and I text Caroline to let her know I'm at the table. She says she'll be there in a few minutes. Well, 2 minutes later, the Uber driver walks over and sits down at the table laughing. She says, surprise.
Caroline, no, you didn't.
I'm confused as heck. But then she reveals that she is Caroline.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
How is it? Keep going. Let's just.
Right. Turns out she thought it would be funny to hang by my place, wait for me to request an Uber, and then be the one to pick me up. Creepy and weird, exclamation point. I pretended to think it was funny to avoid making things awkward, but deep down, I was totally weirded out by it. So I got through the date, but honestly, I have no interest in another.
Caroline, how do you not tell us that in the beginning of the segment?
Because I told her not to.
Okay.
That explains it.
All right, so you knew what was going on. Yeah. All right, give us the mentality here. This is a unique one right here.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like a really cute meet cute. I thought it was going to be great.
But
I don't know.
That's not a meet cute. Meet cutes happen like
organically.
This is a stalk you cute.
Stalk cute? I don't think that's an oxymoron. Maybe on a third date or a fourth date or a fifth date, maybe that's cute.
Nah, that's only cute if you marry. That's it.
I don't think it's cute. Period.
No, like where, why, Caroline? Like, when, like,
one question, why?
Just why?
I mean, he already liked my personality. I thought I would show that it was like spontaneous and fun.
Okay.
And it would bring a little real life element to us meeting. And I would get to know him a little before the date. I thought it was a good idea. Now that you're saying it out loud, it does sound a little crazy, but I thought it was great.
My question is, how did you get this man's address if this is the first time you're meeting?
Uh-huh.
My friend told me where he lived.
Oh, okay.
Really, it's your friend's fault.
Let's just reverse engineer this for 1 second, okay? Let's say you're on the receiving end of this. Dude finds your address. Same exact situation, except you're on the other end of it. Wouldn't you find that creepy?
I mean, now that I'm hearing it out loud... Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would find it creepy.
Yeah.
I think we just chalk this up to a learning experience.
A lesson was learned here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's what no thank you means. It was more like no thank you.
Yeah.
It was what we thought it was.
All right. You swung. You missed wildly.
Carolyn, I love your creativity. Let's just try to channel it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like hobbies.
Some art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pottery.
Sip and paint.
That's a great idea. Guitar. Ukulele. A million different ways. All right, Caroline. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. No, thank you.
In what world?
None of them.
This one right here.
Not a one.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
What's up, y'all? It's Mo. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you love what you heard, well, take a second to leave us a review. But only if it's 5 stars, of course. But why wouldn't it be?
The Bert Show.
Last day to vote in round one of our busted baby brackets. Great looking teens and great looking adults, but when they were born, they were busted.
Out the gate, aka out the hoo-ha.
Woo. Straight up busted. So we've got 32 busted babies up online whose parents looked at them and like, oh yeah, we could win $1,000 with our busted baby. Mm-hmm. So we have them up online right now in a bracketed tournament that you can vote on. And today will be the end of the first round.
Correct. The first round of Fuglies will end today. So you vote today. And then tomorrow we will unveil the Scary 16.
All right, you can go check them out online at thebertshow.com. All right, Cassie, so you and your husband, you just can't see eye to eye on this one issue.
It is the stupidest fight that we have ever gotten in, but I am convinced that I am absolutely correct, and I need everybody else to help me figure it out. So I woke up one morning with a really bad neck. Like, I couldn't turn my neck at all. And my husband's like, well, look at your pillow. And to be fair, this is a ragged pillow. Like, it's half of a pillow because it was the way it was. The pillow I bought had one pillow stuffed inside the other, whatever. And I've washed it and it's clumpy. Like, if you saw it, you'd be like, what is this nasty pillow? It's clean, but lumpy and gross. I might as well not have one. So I said, you're right. I will look at one tomorrow. And he goes, get out your phone and order a pillow right now. We're laying in bed. And I said, you can't do that. And he's like, what do you mean? You're literally lying in bed. You're on TikTok. Open Amazon and order yourself a pillow. And I said, nobody does that. No one just orders a pillow. And he's like, what do you mean? It's the easiest thing in the world. Type pillow in the search bar and then put add to cart and buy it. And I said, you have to do research. Like, I need to figure out, is it a side sleeper pillow, a back sleeper? Is it like feathered? How firm is it? What are the reviews? Is it good for your neck? Is it good for my age? I don't know. Like, is it a cooling pillow? Is it a heating pillow? I said, there are so many options. Only a complete psychopath who, or like maybe a teenager, would just go, same thing, honestly, would just go on Amazon and randomly order a pillow for your bed. And we got so heated about this. I don't know why. I'm sure there's something else going on in our life that will rear its head at some point. And he's like, you're insane. Nobody spends that much time researching a pillow. It's a pillow. You just order it and you sleep on it. I want to know who's right.
This goes back to our first world problems segment that we did earlier today.
But a problem nonetheless. So it's so fun. This is so random. So I have been contemplating getting Jimmy a pillow for his crib, right? Because he takes Horsey and he balls it up and he sleeps on Horsey. And so I asked him about a pillow the other day because I was going to take one from our bed and put it in there. And he's like, that's too big. That's big pillow. I need a weedle pillow. So I was going to go buy him a weedle pillow. But I need to do research first. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because and I think this may be the mom in us. Before I buy anything, I do not just go to Amazon and like search it and click it. I go to Google and I'm like, what is the best pillow for toddlers? And then all these websites will pop up. And then I go to different websites to see where they rank as far as like best bang for your buck or most expensive, blah, blah, blah. And they have like all these different like categories. And then you take all of that information. And then that's which is why it's so exhausting to be who we are, because you have to be so thorough about everything. Because you have to be thorough, you don't end up doing anything, which is why my son still doesn't have a pillow.
I have never found a pillow that works properly. I have done the research. I've bought every pillow Instagram has told me that is life-changing. Then someone said, hey, you know what? Get rid of your pillow and just use a blanket underneath you. And that worked for about 2 days. It has to be researched.
It's still going
to suck at the end of the day. I can't find one that works right. Everybody's body is different, but I'm with you. You got to research it.
I'm literally lying flat on the mattress with no pillow. Like right now.
I'm with your husband on this one. I've never done pillow research in my life. I've never even thought to do pillow research before. I do have a weird thing with pillows, though, where I like pillows that are like a little bit of pillow. I mean, like the blanket thing, I would probably do well with that because I just don't like a lot of pillow, but I've never researched it.
Y'all are sleeping on blankets pillows?
You just roll it. It worked for like two days for me.
It's more comfortable.
You just roll it up and you put it under and you use it as a pillow. And it worked great for 48 hours. And then neck problems again.
I was about to say, I'm like absolute heathens. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm going to be Googling it. But after I Google it, then I'm going to the store to do a squish test. Because I want to make sure that this thing isn't going to crap out on me when I'm three tablets of melatonin deep and I need a good night's sleep. I want to make sure that it's nice and plush.
You cannot feel your hands touch through the pillow.
Amen.
No. You are right, and your husband is a big loser.
Thank you. He's not a loser. He's just wrong.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, Rebecca wants to put this whole radiation thing behind her. She's been out for months now with tongue cancer and has gone through it the last couple of months. And there was one part of this journey that she just wants to put behind her entirely.
Yep, my radiation mask, who I call Barb. It's just an easy name for me to say. Here she is. Yep. I need help figuring out how to absolutely destroy her. Because I couldn't think of anything really good.
So you don't want to turn it into an art installation like you've seen other people do. You want this thing out of your life forever where you never have to look at it again, and you want to destroy it in an epic fashion.
Absolutely. Okay. I thought if I didn't destroy it, I could make, I really love Crocs. So if you guys know like gibbets, yeah. I could make it into a huge like gibbets holder.
Yeah. What is a gibbet?
The little, like,
charms.
Yeah.
Okay. You put on your Crocs.
All right.
All right. I put a lot of thought into this.
Because this thing, by the way, I mean, it has so many bad memories because she had to sit with this thing on. It's like a mold, like a mesh mold that was she was bolted into. She couldn't move, not even like a centimeter one way or the other. So it's super restricting. For how many hours at a time?
It was 45 minutes.
45 minutes each time.
33 times.
And you had to do it 33 times. So you can understand how that thing is just so symbolic of the pain that you had to go through all of these months. So you want it gone. Bye. Out of here.
Yeah, the first time I ever put it on, I had a straight-up panic attack.
Oh, I bet.
And you can't talk, so the only way you can signal to get this off me is to wave your hands really hard at the camera. And they came in and they threw it off me. I was like, I don't know if I can really do this. Thankfully, I tried to imagine it as like a weighted blanket for my face, and it kind of started relaxing me. But yeah, I look at it, and honestly, my heart will race.
I'm guessing... With the scouting report on Kristen and what she's shown us the last couple of years is that from Kristen, there is going to be a party and there's going to be invitations and there is going to be cocktails and it is going to be a well thought out way to get rid of this whole thing.
No. Not for this. We're not going to give this that kind of attention. All right. I did come up with an idea. And I asked everybody to think big. And I thought really big as far as like how we want to destroy this. So we are currently in Atlanta, and Atlanta is also the hub for Delta. So what I think would be so epic is to have you on a plane on a flight somewhere, and that plane rolls over top of that mask and destroys it.
That's
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Hold on. Really
so you have a camera on your radiation mask as this giant jet rolls over top of it, and then it zooms up real quick to a window, and then there you are saying peace out to the radiation mask, saying peace out to cancer, saying peace out, I'm off to somewhere magical.
So it has to be on a flight that she's on.
Yes.
Okay.
She's got to be on the plane that is rolling over top of her mask.
Very good. I thought of one also that I was part of. It ended up being the end of our friendship because I realized at that time that he was going to be a super high maintenance friend. But when I had only known this guy for a couple of months, his dog passed away and he, my dude, wanted all of his friends to go and have dinner together. Right. And then right after dinner, we all went into his backyard with shovels and we dug a hole for his dog and then went around the room and said what we loved about the dog and then buried it forever. Keep in mind also, the dog was in the car downstairs when we were having dinner in the restaurant. So
The
body of the dog is in the truck. Then we go over to his house, and the sentiment was, and remember, I've only known this dude a couple of months. I had never met his dog.
Why is he inviting you to this?
And he was demanding that I say something nice about this dog, and I had never met the dog before.
Okay, that is bizarre.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was the end of the friendship at that point. I don't think I've talked to that dude since. That was going to be high maintenance. But in this case right here, burying it in the backyard, well, the people that in your life had to see you go through that and burying it, have a funeral for it, like an informal funeral, so it is gone, dead, buried forever.
That's interesting.
Yep. So when I came
on. I'm just kind of afraid, like, I imagine burying it, and then it, like, grows like a plastic tree.
like a big sequoia in the backyard?
That's
like,
what I'm
saying. It's still there, technically. It's just there underground.
Okay, all right. Not so great.
Mine, not as good as Kristen's, but like Bert's, it takes place in the backyard. So when I went to celebrate with my lady over Christmas, I learned that sometime in the Latin community, they'll have parties, and then in the backyard, they will burn what is like a built person. I guess it's like some sort of dummy, and it's like symbolic of burning your old self and becoming your new self for the new year. So maybe you could have like a party, a small party to celebrate the letting go of your old self and the becoming into your new self by pretty much just setting it on fire in the backyard.
I really like that too. And I thought about setting it on fire, but the smell would be horrible. If we all had like gas masks, I think it would be fine. Mm. But I do like that idea.
I think so far, Kristen's Delta Airlines running over it so far as the leader. And
yeah, we just got to get Delta on board.
The leader around the turn.
All right, well, I'm glad I came in with two ideas because my first idea had something to do with burning it, sort of like they did with witches back in the day. Mm. I thought we could have like a big bonfire party where we go to the middle of the woods and we burn it, we roast s'mores and stuff. But my second idea is actually to take you to our local motor speedway and put you in one of those race cars and have you speed around the track but also run it over.
Okay.
Which I think might be a little bit safer than a plane. I know with those Boeings right now, we don't want to mess up anything. We don't want to send anything off kilter. So maybe a race car is a little bit on the safer side.
It might be more doable.
Delta.
Although, is it Shakira?
I think so.
Shakira. That is here to tell us that she works for Delta and might be able to help. Hey, Shakira. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good. Do you want to be on the Voice Disguise, or did we just put you on it?
You can put me on the Voice Disguise.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay, so I think that I may be able to help. There is a, we have something called the Delta Jet Drag every year where we raise money for cancer and the employees come and we literally drag a jet. Like it's got to be timed and we make teams and all these things. So if I can possibly try to get in touch with anybody to see if we can get Rebecca to come and be a part and we can drag the jet to so that it crashes and hits and breaks the mast. One, that would be safer. And two, I think she may get a kick out of it. And
okay.
She'll be part of actually pulling it and destroying it herself.
And okay, so this is right in line with what you're talking about. Here they are doing it with cancer. You kind of went out a little bit. What exactly do you do with these items?
They're not items. They're dragging a jet.
They're dragging a jet.
Yes, we are dragging a jet. We make up teams of about 25 employees, and it's like a whole thing. It gets very competitive. Everybody gets timed, and people fly in from all over the Delta networking, and we literally pull a plane, and I think it would be really nice. You know, we could set it right by the wheel. We can pull it.
I kind of love the idea.
That sounds perfect.
I kind of love it.
Yeah. And it's all, and they do all this to raise money for cancer.
It works perfectly in line.
That's awesome.
Shakira, let us put you on hold. This might be a great idea if we could somehow organize this.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be fantastic. I really appreciate you calling.
You're welcome.
Hold on one sec for us. Would you be down with that?
Yeah, I'll bury it in the backyard till then.
The Bert Show.
So if you have kids, I thought this was a really great idea yesterday on Instagram. Using a family code word so your kids can get out of an uncomfortable situation that they don't quite know how to get out of themselves with their friends. Here's the explanation. I had never seen this coming, never used it on my kids.
Let's talk about the importance of a family code word. I had a family code word growing up, and it was one of the smartest things my parents ever did with me. And if you're unfamiliar, a code word is something like pickle that can be incorporated into normal conversation, but has a very strong message. A code word is something that allows your child to save face with their friends. An example of this would be your child's over at a play date. They are asked to spend the night. They don't want to be the one to say no, so they pick up the phone and call you. Hey, Mom, what's going on? By chance, did you grab my pickles at the grocery store today? I'm really craving them. Oh, also, side note, can I sleep over at Ben's house? Now, you as the parent know the answer is no. A family code word could also come into play for safety reasons. Let's say your child's older, they're in high school, they're at a party, and things start to get out of hand. They could either text you this word or slip it into a casual conversation on the phone with you, and you know right then and there that you either need to make a big stink and tell them to get home immediately or tell them that you're coming to pick them up now. Or your child's younger and somebody other than you or your partner are coming to grab them from school. Make sure that your child knows that they are not to leave with anybody unless they hear the family code word. And it has to be said to them. They are never to be the ones to say it. Once your child hears it, they then know it's safe to go with that person. A code word could also come into play if your child is home with a family member or babysitter and they no longer feel safe. Again, all they would have to do is slip in that code word into a casual conversation and you know something's not right. There are so many benefits to having a family code word, and if you don't currently have one, sit down with your family and come up with one tonight.
So simple, mm-hmm. So easy, so obvious. Never thought of it.
No, it's genius. However, kids, if the babysitter won't give you gummy bears, yeah, that doesn't mean you need to text Mom the code word.
Right. Right.
Pickles, Mom, pickles.
It's an emergency situation.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I want to give you a kid warning right here, right now, because we are going to talk about some adult content, and specifically, we are going to be talking about being manhandled. Okay. So as I'm interpreting this email, you got a dude here that's starting to hang out with a bunch of women at the office, and they're so comfortable with him now that they're talking freely in front of him, and he's uncomfortable with how to react to what he's hearing, okay? And it all is being centered around this word, manhandled. Bert Show. So I have a question, observation, that's been eating at me for weeks. A few weeks ago, I started going to lunch with some of the ladies in the office. I'm the only male. As they've gotten more comfortable with me, they have let their guard down and talk pretty openly in front of me. One common theme they have been chewing on lately is the fact that their men won't manhandle, quote unquote, manhandle them. I sit silently when I listen to them complain, but also laugh that they all want to be, quote unquote, manhandled. As a single man, I want a deeper explanation of this, if this is something women really want. But I am way too embarrassed to ask, is this a common theme with women, or am I just in a weird group? Frankly, I'm kind of surprised because the messages I seem to get is that women want to be treated with respect. What am I missing? Okay. Look, Cassie was in on this immediately. Look at her manhandling her mic.
Obviously, I can't speak for all women, but there is, I think, something to a woman who holds power in her life. So maybe she runs the household and has a very big mental load, or maybe she's in a powerful position at work, or so she's a power player in some regard in her life, whether at home or in the office. And there is something very empowering about choosing to lose your power in a place and not have to hold that role anymore and be like, all right, I'm tapping out. I'm not making the decisions anymore. Like the dominance thing, I'm dominant in every other area of my life, except I am choosing not to be in this scenario. I don't want to be in that role. And for some women, they really like that.
I don't think this is an all women thing by any means. I don't think these women in this group are like the outliers. I think there are a lot of women that when it comes to being manhandled, they would prefer that. And his comment is like, I'm kind of surprised because the message I seem to get is that women want to be treated with respect. You can be manhandled with respect. Like, as long as you and your partner are on the same page and it is consensual and discussed beforehand, and that, you know, it's not something. But here's the thing. It's not something you want to tell your man that he has to do. Like, all right, now manhandle me.
Respectfully.
Because, yes.
Hey, honey, will you respectfully manhandle me tonight? Don't save that.
Yeah. Because then that negates what Cassie just said. If you are a woman or a person who has a lot of control over their life, has to make a lot of decisions, is, you know, has to be the dominant person every now and then, it's nice to be able to be submissive and to let somebody else take control and take control of the situation so you can just sit there and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, when women say they want to be manhandled, it doesn't mean getting like pushed into walls or shoved around.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, if that's what you're into, I'm not kink shaming here. For me, the perfect example was a guy that I dated a couple months post-grad, and I had this conversation with him multiple times. I'm like, I always feel like you're never really taking charge. To me, it's not really manhandling. It's just kind of like, can you show masculinity and strength in like a crowd setting? So for example, we would go out to bars together and he would always just kind of hold my hand with like a limp noodle arm. And I would always just grab his hand and I would look him dead in the eyes through my vodka haze. And I would be like, grab me, damn it. And he'd be like, pull me through the crowd. Like, show me that you're kind of in control and you're taking charge. But to me, that's a sign of respect, not disrespect.
Maybe in the bonus content, we can define exactly what manhandled means, because I think a lot of dudes are confused by that word. And I think I understand what he's saying in the last sentence here also, is that the messages that men get most of the time is that they don't want to be controlled, that women don't want to be controlled by men. So in a case like this, he's sitting here going, wait a second, she does want to be controlled by me, respectfully?
Well, it's in a very obvious situation. It's in the bedroom. Like, yeah. That's what really this is talking about. And if I'm on a date and it's a first date and we go home and you manhandle me, I'm going to have some issues, especially if we didn't, like, discuss it. But I think if you're in a relationship or you've been on a few dates and that's where you're going, and like Kristen said, it's consensual, so everyone's on the same page and it's in the bedroom. But no, I don't want some dude just to walk up to me in a bar and, like, manhandle me.
Grab me by the bicep and drag me somewhere.
You don't have permission. I haven't acquiesced. I haven't been like, yes, you may do this in this situation. So go with the respect thing. But some women, and if you're on TikTok, all the readers love to be manhandled.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to be disrespected by somebody who we know respects us.
Really?
There's a partnership.
That's a good way of putting it.
There is a partnership on TikTok between the book talk girlies and the motorcycle boys. Yes, and it is,
I don't know what these are.
So book talk, the readers, the girls who love reading, and then the dudes who post about their motorcycles and riding bike, like motorcycles, they have formed an alliance. And that is what, like, women, not all women, but a lot of women want the bad boy as well. But bad boys don't make good life partners, okay? So when you're at a point where you're like, I want to settle down with someone good, but I want some of that bad boy angsty energy, that's where you get it in the bedroom. That's where the manhandling comes in.
Isn't this fascinating?
Yeah.
Abby, what did you say?
Women, and this is a blanket statement, I think a lot of women like to be disrespected by someone we know respects us.
Oh.
So like my husband could manhandle me. That's totally fine. Any other man? No, thank you.
Huh. Angela, good morning. You are on the Burt Show.
Manhandle my piano twice.
Twice?
Huh?
Not even
twice.
Once.
Twice. Not once. Twice.
Okay.
So you want to be doubled down on manhandled?
Manhandle me twice.
Okay. She's like, I know I can add to that conversation. Once is not enough.
That's all she wanted to add.
Manhandle times two.
Yeah, two of them things.
I want to be disrespected by somebody that respects me.
Yeah.
Huh. Because you know it's coming.
Bar.
Yeah. You know it's coming from a place of consent and
it's safe.
It's safe.
I learned so much on this show today. thank you, and thank you.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We've done the dark side of Chuck E. Cheese. We've done the dark side of movie theaters. And now the dark side of kids' TV.
Oh, this sucks, man.
I know. Except this isn't funny or wild or any way. It's actually, like, really sad. So here's your trigger warning for abuse, because we are talking about all the allegations against Nickelodeon producer Dan Schneider. And if you haven't been keeping up with this whole storyline, I mean, just it's kind of like the Ellen DeGeneres thing, but worse because you're dealing with kids. And then there were people that worked under him that ended up going to jail or prison for sexual abuse as well with some of the child stars. And it really is just heartbreaking. So there was a docuseries that came out called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And it's basically exposing all the allegations against him in terms of having a hostile work environment. All these kids actors are coming out and talking about just how brutal it was to be on set with this man who was in charge of some of the biggest TV shows of my generation. We had Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, iCarly. Like, these were the shows that raised us. And now all these child stars are speaking out about him just being an absolute monster while running these massive TV shows that would launch these kids' careers. And also there's another episode about Drake Bell exposing sexual abuse by his dialogue coach. Drake Bell was probably the biggest star on Nickelodeon 15, 20 years ago when I was a kid growing up.
So I just started watching this last night because, of course, Nickelodeon was a huge part of my childhood in the 90s, watching shows. And, you know, you can't do that on television, and Ren and Stimpy. And it was like, they say this in the docuseries now, you have all these other streaming platforms, but when we were kids, you had the Disney Channel and you had Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And they were churning out child stars. And Dan Schneider was the one that was behind some of these child stars, like Amanda Bynes. He is responsible for basically finding her and curating her career, you know, career, and turning her into like this mega superstar she was at the time. Now, again, I've just started watching this. So it's starting in the early years of Dan Schneider's career, how he treated the two women writers that were on his staff is absolutely appalling.
Just like sexual harassment.
It's so disappointing. Not just that. So they were the only two women writers there at Nickelodeon and writing for the Amanda Bynes show. And they shared a salary while all the other men had their own individual salary.
Wow.
And they actually found out from the Writers Guild that was not allowed. And so, and then there was some other stuff that was done in the writer's room that was very uncomfortable. And he just ended up having this power over everybody. And everybody was so afraid to say something because you would either A, lose your job, or B, never work in the industry again, mm-hmm. because he was so powerful. And it just, and they warn you in the beginning. I don't remember who says this, but they're like, just be warned, if you were a fan of Nickelodeon and this was a big part of your childhood, we're about to ruin your childhood.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And especially looking back on some of the scenes from shows like iCarly and Victorious, some of the jokes and the gags, as an adult, with the context that I have with adult experience, the fact that some of these things were allowed in terms of like feet fetishes and scenes that feel so sexualized, mm-hmm. for these young kids is so disturbing. So now Dan Schneider is sitting down with this actor who he was over. His name is Boogie. I watched this yesterday. And it's supposed to feel sort of like this intense journalistic conversation where he comes out and he sets the record straight, but it's obviously so canned to make him look good. It's obvious everything is rehearsed. It's obvious that this guy who's quote unquote interviewing him has something to gain because this is a guy that has a lot of power in the television industry. He's coming out and apologizing for his behavior, apologizing for the hostile work environment and the writer's room, and also apologizing for those inappropriate jokes / all of the sexualization of the kids on these TV shows.
Watching over the past two nights, very difficult, facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology. No writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room, ever, period, the end, no excuses. Most TV writers, comedy writers have been in writer's rooms and they are aware that a lot of times there are inappropriate jokes made and inappropriate topics come up. But the fact that I participated in that, especially when I was leading the room, it embarrasses me. I shouldn't have done it. That was wrong. That was because I was an inexperienced producer. I was immature. Wouldn't happen today, but I'm just really sorry it happened. All these jokes that the show covered over the past two nights was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny, mm-hmm. and only funny. Now we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later, and they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid show. I have no problem with that. If that's how anyone feels, let's cut those jokes out of the show, just like I would have done 25 years ago. I cut it.
Sexualizing kids is not inappropriate. It is crossing a line that's so far gone that I cannot believe any of it was allowed.
Yeah, it's crazy because, and I mean, of course, we are in a different world now than we were in the 90s, in a lot of ways, thankfully. And when you watch some of the clips they pulled from the Amanda Bynes show and Victorious with Ariana Grande and what Ariana Grande was doing with that potato.
Oh, my God. The potato scene, she basically grabs it with both hands in the way that you might do with a partner. And
she's trying to squeeze juice out of the potato. And yeah. She's making these weird sounds. And she's like, it was so, and I'm like.
And she's how old at the time?
She was a teen at the time.
Young teen.
Yeah. Probably like 16, 17.
It was so bizarre. It was so bizarre.
Making gaggy noises, putting her feet in her mouth. I mean, it's so icky. But for more stories, you can head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Mo, it's a bold statement to say you witnessed something that was the worst of all time.
Whoa.
But you swear it was the worst of all time.
It couldn't have been worse. I mean, it was as bad as it gets. And it feels foolish to me, but I don't know if you guys have anything in your life that you thoroughly enjoy. And most people may not be familiar with it. So when you finally get the opportunity to share your excitement with your friends and your family, whatever it is that you like just completely lets you down. That's pretty much what happened to me over the weekend.
And then you end up looking bad in the process.
I look like a complete fool. Like, and so there's this league that I'm a big fan of, and it's called the URL, which stands for Ultimate Rap League. And what it is a professional battle rap league where a bunch of different professional battle rappers battle against each other. And because it's a league, that's what makes it interesting because everyone knows each other. Like, everyone knows each other's lives. So it's like it has a storyline, if you will. Same thing you would with, like, reality TV or if you're watching, like, WWE or something like that. Everybody knows each other's lives. So this guy may really get personal with this guy and dive into their life. And this guy may get really personal with this guy, and then they end up battling each other. And so it just makes it fun. And if you appreciate art, like, you know, any type of lyrical things when it comes to music, you'd appreciate this because these guys are like geniuses, the way that they come up with their words in ways that will not only be offensive, but they rhyme and they just make sense. So for years.
Is it freestyle?
No, sometimes it is. Okay. Like, some of the guys will go off the top of their head and start talking about your girl right next to you. I mean, and what she's wearing and everything. But for the most part, it's rehearsed, and it's like three rounds of where you get to go at each other. So you go, the next person goes, you go, the next person goes. And in the end, typically somebody will win 2-1. That's how it goes. So for the last, like, 3 years, it started to become really popular because Drake backed it and started putting money into the league. And so when they did that, they were able to put on a bunch of pay-per-views for free for a while to try to bring in more people, which worked. And it started to become really popular.
It's like you gotta put some money in order to make some money later. So they're putting money in, or Drake did, offering these pay-per-view rap battles for free. But then at a certain point, once they get people hooked, they're going to start charging.
Exactly. So now you start to make a name for yourself because you got all these professional basketball players coming. You got all these big-name artists coming. And people will come and sit in the front row and watch these battles. So a few of my friends, like, it's kind of my thing to do when I want to be alone and just enjoy something that is, like, for me. And I always end up watching it that way.
Where does one go to watch one of these, by the way?
You can either go to it live. It goes to a bunch of different cities in the country, or you can watch it on, like, streaming apps. So this particular one, this is the first time that they made, like, a really official pay-per-view event, charging $60, mind you. So
Wow. It's
not cheap, right? And you get about 5 or 6 battles, and you have the cards and the list of people that are supposed to battle. So my friends are like, yo, you are always talking about this URL, and, like, I want to come over and watch this with you. So now I feel pressure, right? I'm like, wait, y'all want to actually, like, take interest in this? So they're like, yeah, as much as you talk about it, it must be great. So I'm like, all right, cool. I've been going through some stuff lately. They're like, we tired of you wanting to be alone. We're going to come over to your house and watch it with you. So I'm like, all right, fine. This will be the event that will show them what has made me fall in love with this league all these years. So the battle starts. The first thing out the gate, it starts an hour late. So that already got off to a bad start. It's supposed to start at 3 p.m. For whatever reason, it starts at 4 p.m. They don't give you a why. They don't tell you why it's delayed, what's going on. Just starts an hour late. Then when it finally does start, the stream is only working for half of the people who ordered the pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
So you can go on Twitter and see what's going on, like who's battling and who's winning and what's being said, but you can't see it.
You know what this is reminding me of? The Verses when Nelly was, I don't remember who he was going against.
Oh.
But there was apparently like a storm and he was in his basement. He wasn't getting any Wi-Fi. It was Luda.
It was ludicrous, right?
And they couldn't do this versus battle because like literally Nelly's Wi-Fi sucked so bad.
It was horrible.
Oh, it was. It was just a nightmare.
And everybody anticipated that matchup so much. So that's exactly what it felt like. And so then when you finally do get the battle going, the battle starts and then two of these battlers that are supposed to show up end up not showing up. Like, neither one of them showed up. So the people who are throwing this battle don't even have this information until right beforehand. And instead of them just canceling the battle or figuring something out, they asked Chad Johnson or Chad Ochocinco, the former football player who just happens to be in the stands, to come up there and just rap against two, like, professional battle rappers. So it takes away from the professionalism of the event.
When you throw an amateur on stage.
You're just throwing a random because he's a celebrity. Now, don't get me wrong. It did well for them because it made them do a lot of numbers on Twitter because he did it. But at the same time,
how'd
it's
he
like,
do, be honest?
Oh, he was horrible.
Okay.
It was trash. But I see why they did it, to help get the name. So then finally you get to which now the two main events in my mind, I'm like, are going to save this. Everything else went bad. But the two guys that are battling last, because it's like any other sporting event, like you save the best for last.
And your credibility's on the line because you've been talking about this so much and your friends are like, we're watching this because of you.
Exactly. So the first guy gets up there and I'm waiting all day. I'm like, man, this guy's so good. His name is New Jersey Twerk. He's like one of the best in the world. And he chokes.
No.
Just completely chokes. Yeah. Gets up there, doesn't remember his material. He's fumbling over it. He's repeating things he already said. So they're looking at me like, this is what you spend all of your time like talking about and doing. I'm like, I promise y'all it gets better than this. So then we get to another battle in which I'm thinking, all right, this is the one that's going to really save me. It's this battle named Chess, and he's really good too. This man starts throwing up. I've never seen this in my life.
Live
on stage, throwing up to the point where he can't stop.
I'm entertained and I'm not even watching it.
And he's mic'd up, so you can't like just take the mic off. So you hear everything. I mean, you hear every single banium. I'm like, this can't be any worse. The guy throws up. They don't even give him water. He just go right back to rapping and getting in the other dude's face.
Get him a breath mint.
It was horrible, man. URL owes me $60 and an apology. But I promise y'all it gets better than that. That was just a really bad event.
Sure. It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.